Hey there, this is Jay Thorne. I am still on a short break, and so Rachel will be up soon with the guest. But before we get into the episode, just a quick reminder that the Supercharge Your Scene 5-Day Free Writing Challenge begins on June 15th, 2020. You're not going to want to miss this because I built it just for you. You're going to take it 5 days, 5 lessons, exclusive private Facebook group, and I guarantee you're going to be writing much better scenes when the 5 days is over. So make sure you go to superchargeyourscene.com and sign up today. Now, here's the episode.
Welcome to the Writer's Well, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with my friend Mark Lefebvre. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Rachel. I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I call you my friend, but it's just because I've heard you so long in my head. We've never met.
The feeling is mutual. You're in my head all the time, too.
And it is just really natural when you meet somebody like that and you start talking. We have already exchanged deep words of Buddhist wisdom. Would you like to share it with our listeners?
Well, we were just talking about that from, I think it was last episode that you were talking about that as your, was it 2 episodes ago? I get mixed up easily. Yeah, but, and I said, you can never pee in the same river twice. Just remember that.
And that's how Mark and I started our friendship. It's going very well so far. I can recommend. Well, welcome, Mark. Let me give you a tiny bit of introduction, although really anybody who listens to the show knows who you are. Mark Leslie Lefebvre is an author, professional speaker, and bookseller with more than a quarter century of experience in writing, publishing, and bookselling. Having grown up with an intense passion for reading and writing, Mark started writing when he was 13 years old, was drawn to bookselling, and has remained in the industry wearing many different hats since 1992. You may know him from Mark from Kobo, from Days of Yore, but now he is Mark from Drafted Digital, and I have to say that Drafted Digital is everything. It is.
Thanks. So I take all the credit for all the work these great guys did before I joined them, but you can call me Mark 2 Digital if that makes it easier. My last name is just not easy, but you got it.
Lefebvre, it's not hard.
Yeah, well, my God, I know, but it's just because you have to ignore all the consonants and then you're
That's
good.
What I do. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
That's what I, when I tried to type it out, I was screwed. Yeah.
No, you're done. Mark 2 Digital is better, or Mark L.
And you're at markleslie.ca?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's.
I wonder why I use that pseudonym.
Now I understand. Well, no, Drafted Digital is wonderful. But the fact that you're here today is because you're a writer as well. And that's what I really enjoy, are people who are in the industry and are actually writing as well. So, and you were just at the Career Authors Summit.
Oh, an amazing weekend. We both had a really good time there, didn't we? Even though we were there virtually.
We were there virtually, but it really felt like a conference. I think the guys just did an amazing job. So when Jay said he needed a little vacation because he's been doing so much, I was like, who will I ask? And the people came into my mind immediately. So yes, I hope that he's lying on the couch right now, listening to our dulcet tones in his ears and enjoying. And you know what, Jay, while you're listening, Mark actually sent me a very professional letter this morning that said, should we go over comments like you all do? And I didn't think we would, but I thought that's a great idea. Because the last episode that we haven't talked about comments are what are your top 3 writing tools that are physical, that are, you know, not your brain, not your mindset. But we had such great questions and such great answers, and I kind of wanted to go through them with Mark. But first, and this is a little bit of a softball that we didn't talk about, what are your top 3?
Oh my God, I was worried you were going to ask me that. Wow. Okay. Books in general, I'm surrounded. You can see, people listening can't see, but you can see I'm surrounded by books. They aren't just for the acoustics. They are because books have been part of my life. So reading a lot is one of my top, books to me are what Post-it notes are to you. Probably.
I am astonished that more people didn't say that. Now that you say that, I don't think anybody said that.
I don't think I saw that comment at all. And so that's probably number one, only because, there's so many things, so many research books. So I actually have on the shelf in front of me that you can't see all of these horror and ghost themes. So yeah, different things about witches and werewolves and all the different, or wolves if I need to write more book. So it's just research. And I know we have the internet, but there's nothing like turning behind me and cracking open that Canadian English dictionary and saying, this is how you spell honor with a U, damn it.
All those extra U's are expensive after a while though.
Yeah. So I think that's one. The other thing I would say my running shoes, and this kind of relates to stuff you guys have been talking about recently, because I'm a more creative person when I exercise.
Yeah.
And if I don't go for a run or at least a 20 or 30 minute walk to clear my head, often listening to podcasts, I know it's okay to just listen to music or just be in the moment, but I prefer to learn while I'm doing it.
I do too. Yeah.
And that stimulates the blood flow, which I think is impossible. And I'm going to say scotch. Even though I'm a beer man, I'm going to say scotch because there's nothing like celebrating the completion of a new book by cracking open a new bottle of the Macallan scotch.
Okay.
And because an expensive scotch, like $120 kind of
bottle. Oh, yeah.
And waiting and saying, I bought it, but I can't open it until I finish the book. So those are kind of three things.
I love those answers. I have a friend who would wrap it and put it on her desk and then unwrap it when she finished it.
That's
the
brilliant
book.
I love that idea.
Isn't that great? And have it on your desk so you can look at the present.
And it's like, I can't have that.
Before I quit drinking, I was definitely a Laphroaig girl. And somebody once described it to me as it smelled like a burning hospital. And I just wrote that line in a book, right? The iodine.
Oh my God, it's true.
So yeah, I could wax rhapsodic about that for a while. So what did other people say? So over here in the comments, Christopher, always first. Pens and notebooks. And I think that a lot of people talked about pens and notebooks and kind of the romance and the beauty of them that they are. And Chris says you can get them cheap anywhere in the world at almost any corner shop. And yet we'd love them. How lucky is that?
That is true.
So what kind of notebook are you using right now?
Right now, I've got a few actually, believe it or not, it's like the little free ones you get from like 20 books to 50K
totally.
And some of the RWA conferences.
Totally use
so I've just gone back to all the different ones I've gone to and went, okay, I have all these empty notebooks and they're nice and small. So when I travel, I can slap them in. I can quickly open them up. And when I'm on the plane, I can, well, not that I do that very often lately, but I can quickly open them up and do that. Or when I'm going to pick up my son somewhere or whatever, and I have to sit in the car waiting, I can quickly open it up and jot down notes. The problem with me, unlike your note, I love the way you describe the way that you use the notepad, is I've got 60 of them all over the place and I don't have them stored anywhere. So it's like, what book did I write that in?
One of the best things I ever did was I started writing on the front cover or inside everything that was in the book when it was full. So I can quickly skim to say, this was that conference. I met this person. This was the Venice trip, 2013, whatever. So
and you have them all alphabetized or something sequential order? No?
No, that would be a dream, but no, I'm kind of a chaos muppet. So JP uses tarot, which I love. And he said, a little bit of chaos, adding a tool to add a little chaos builds a better story for me.
And a 20-sided die as well, he noted, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. let's see. Amy Tasakata says, my Kanban board. I know that Jay is partial to Kanban or Kanban or whatever you call it. I lust after it, but I fail at keeping a Kanban board updated. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Amy Kanban. I remember her talking about that earlier. So that's really cool.
Oh my gosh. You have a good memory. Kate was the first person to bring up whiteboards, which a lot of people have whiteboards on their list. Are you a whiteboard guy?
Yeah, there's a big giant one on the wall right beside me. Why didn't I think of that?
What do you put on it?
I've had one since 1990. I've had a little mini whiteboard above. And actually the quote on it says, if the act of writing is not accompanied, if the desire to write is not accompanied by actual writing, then the desire is not to write. And that's a note from Hugh Prather. And now that whiteboard's now in Liz's office in the basement because it's a little smaller one because I've upgraded to a full-sized wall one. But that was on my whiteboard. What do I put right?
Besides that amazing quote, like, do you do plotting or do you do...
Nothing organized. It's like right now I have an Oscar Wilde quote, "To define is to limit," because it just inspired me and it's been there for months. I just look at it every once in a while. There's a thing that says how to pronounce Lefebvre. I want to do a YouTube video, just a short 60-second thing.
Right.
And then I have titles of books I want to write, four different book projects, deadlines for editors, like to get manuscripts to MasterCard. I have a negative balance because I overpaid. So I'm like, I better use that card next. And then notes of what's good. Yeah, it's just miscellaneous
crap. You catch it.
Yeah.
Because I have a huge one on my wall and I tried to use it as a Kanban board and it doesn't work for me. So you're giving me permission to use it as just a catch-all.
Just scribble stuff down. And then, so right now, for example, I pre-interviewed 3 people for my podcast, or actually I had 4 and I was like, oh my God, I forgot. Cause I interviewed this guy so long ago, I forgot I had it. And so I was like, I should put that on the whiteboard. And then I just wiped him off cause he came in the last episode. Now I have 3 backlog. So I've never been that far ahead. I don't know what the heck's wrong with me.
I was once ahead and I actually forgot somebody and she emailed me like 4 months later. Did that show ever go live? I'm like, you know what? No, I forgot. It's going live next week.
Your whiteboard, Rachel. Your whiteboard. Because you can quickly, and if you don't mark it off very fast, you know this, if it stays on there too long, you got to get some real cleanser
stuff. You have
to
actually clean. Yeah. Screw that. Screw that.
Yeah. There's stuff there that's permanent. I love that. Like, get more writing done, you loser.
No, we would be nice to ourselves most of the
that's right.
some of the time. Annie says glasses, otherwise she wouldn't get ever anything done. And I think that's, I mean, all of us are wearing glasses.
For you and I, yeah.
Exactly. The wonderful Stephanie Bond, you should go to stephaniebond.com and look at her daily tips for writers because they are amazing and they change every single day. She mentioned 3 awesome things. The Alpha Smart keyboard emulator. Have you ever used one of those?
Is that like the digital thingy?
No, it's not. It's practically like straight up electronic, but it's this really hardcore piece of plastic, which you could throw out of an airplane and it would pick it up. It runs on, I think, AA batteries and you can only type on it. I think you can only see 4 or 6 lines of like ASCII text basically. And then you download it to your computer when you get home or wherever it is, but you can take it outside.
So you can't self-edit. It's so smart. It's like move forward. Oh my God.
They don't make
No wonder we love Stephanie. That's it's a brilliant idea.
I know. They don't make them anymore, but you can get them on eBay sometimes.
Okay.
And she also does blue light filtering glasses and an old fashioned kitchen timer for writing sprints, all of which I love.
Perfect.
Kim says, fidget toys. Absolutely. I have a spinner on my desk, I don't actually know where it is, but I probably spun it right off. Maggie says a good pencil and an electric pencil sharpener, which I think is so romantic.
And they're so fun too. They just feel like, it's
a way to get out of your aggression. Right. let's see. There's so many comments this time. I can't go over all of them, but Kay says candles. She uses different ones for different times, one for creativity, one for productivity. I want to know what the productivity scent is.
Please
give me that. Anne Marie does composition books and I love a comp book.
Okay.
Let's see. Sarah uses the blanket her grandmother crocheted on her lap. Bonus points if one of the cats is also sitting there.
Aren't these awesome. Great? Wait, coffee. Sarah said coffee.
Oh.
Whoa.
Why?
I change it. Coffee. Get rid of the scotch. Sorry, I'm with Sarah.
That's true because scotch is celebratory, whereas coffee is necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did it more? These are so obvious, and these did not come up very much. Monique mentioned that she yearns for a Remarkable, which is one of those tablets that you can write on. But I'm actually getting a Rocket Book, which is a notebook that then you can take a picture of and then digitizes and then it scans. Jeff Adams from Jeff and Will told me to get that. It's only like $30. So I decided to try one of those. The Remarkable is expensive. So
you can take it makes a PDF of your
notes? Makes a PDF of your handwriting and then you just swoosh it with a wet wipe, I guess, and it disappears.
Oh my God. You know what? I bought for $700 back before the Sony PSR e-reader came out.
Yeah.
I bought one of those and it was a full size tablet with e-ink on one side and you could write.
Write in the e-book. Yes.
Yeah. I forget. I still have it doesn't even charge anymore. It's a giant heavy thing. And I was like, oh, they're back again. Cause I thought this was the greatest thing.
We are so excited about a gadget. We write it.
I know, it's crazy.
We really are. We've got some more. Carla says her diffuser, which I love. It's all about scent. Edwin says my teacup, though it's a bit frustrating to go for another sip only to discover that someone has drained the cup while my attention was elsewhere. That phantom tea drinker. My goodness. Okay. And now get ready for this, Mark. I don't know if you saw this, but Kate told me about the Post-it app. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's new or what, but my reaction was, wait, what app? And I went and looked, and apparently you can take post-it note, like, you know, digital, like electronic yeah. post-its, but you can also take pictures of your analog apps and then they, I know. Oh, I wish you could see Mark.
Oh, that is so right cool. Now.
And then it will transfer it, the handwriting OCR into text, and then you can move those post-its around. So
oh my God, a whole new dimension of post-its for you to explore.
Exactly. It's my reward today for finishing work. I will be able to look at the app, which is already on my phone. Ergonomics tips from Benjamin, kneeling chair and an elevated external monitor mm-hmm. at the right height, belly button height. Monitor should be about 2.5 feet away, I believe, in all of that stuff. Super, super important. Harper says, notebooks, paper pads, and earbuds. Lots of earbuds in here. Yeah. Chad recommended a fancy mechanical keyboard that clicks when he types. It makes him feel like a machine gunner.
Chad likes that feedback immediately, right?
Exactly.
Good, hearty, chunky keyboard.
Simon uses his dictaphone. James has a walking treadmill, which I really kludged one together once, but it wasn't very safe. So
we just, Liz just built one. I haven't written on it yet. I did a PowerPoint presentation on it, which was relatively easy because I was just sliding. It wasn't bad. I was only going like 3 miles an hour, so it wasn't walking very fast, but yeah, I'd love to try that because of the stimulation, right? You get the blood flowing. Maybe that's going to unblock me.
It's like the standing thing. Yeah. So those were amazing comments. Thank you, everybody who left comments. And if I didn't get to you, I apologize. In other business, I would like to thank Sarah Crawford for being our new patron. Thank you for joining this community. We really, really appreciate you. And thanks to all the patrons. You can always go look at our different levels over at patreon.com/thewriterswell. We even have one where you can be in our Slack channel and write with us in a little virtual write-in that we do on Zoom, which is fun. That is all the business done. And look at how much fun we've already had. Oh my gosh. You and I have to chat forever.
The fun never ends.
Good thing we're going to talk to each other later this week for your
I know. I'm looking forward to that too.
Okay. So now you have a question for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is related to something that I've been going through, and I've actually heard feedback from somebody actually just commented, my apologies, I can't remember who it was, sent me a direct message on the Slack channel for Career Author Summit saying, thank you for talking about the fact that during this pandemic, the quarantine, the self-isolation, that you've been having trouble writing. Yeah. Cause I talked about that. Cause I figured if I'm struggling, now I'm struggling with fiction, nonfiction, no problem. Other things, no problem. The fiction projects I had lined up that I was just dying to sink my teeth into, I've been having trouble with it. So that leads to this question. So if you couldn't write novels, Rachel, or nonfiction, Rachel, if you couldn't write novels or nonfiction books anymore, what would you see yourself doing as a creative person?
Good Lord, crying.
Besides crying.
crying a lot. As a creative person, if I couldn't write books, and am I to assume I can't like write blog posts and things like
no,
that?
No, you just can't write nonfiction or books because you've got nonfiction books, or novels because you've got those.
Okay,
so let's say you just can't write, for some reason, magic genie comes down and says you cannot write novels or nonfiction books anymore. What do you do?
Okay, I think that
genies do that, right?
That would be a very mean genie, and I think I'd be very mad at him. First of all, like, seriously, just you saying that presents a level of panic into my gut, which was very surprising. And I have to acknowledge that it is one of my greatest fears. And
Isn't that a fear?
Yeah, it is a fear, probably for a lot of us when we think of things like, God forbid, Alzheimer's or a brain injury where, you know, you hear people who get hit in the head and suddenly can't do the thing that they love to do, or strangely that they can now play the piano and they never could before, or whatever. They start to hear music. So,
or a mean genie shows up and just wipes it all away. Right. That's happened
never,
to at least one person.
Never buy that bottle in the thrift store. But I think what I would probably turn to is, the reason that I write both fiction and nonfiction is to connect. And the reason I try to connect is not because I think I am all that and I have wisdom to impart. The truth is I have such a lack of wisdom that I like to connect with people in order to very selfishly glean their information and their wisdom and bring it in and utilize it in my life. But that moment of connection between people is why I create anything that I create. So I think rather than throwing myself into, you know, fiber arts, which is also a love of mine, textile arts, that would be my side hobby as it always has been. I think I would have to do something that involved connecting with people. And because it can't be books, I think it would honestly be something like quadrupling down on a YouTube kind of thing or some kind of, you know, like Instagram stories, trying to help people discover why and how they are creative and how to actually do the work when it is hard during times like this, during times like COVID, because that remains my passion, is to spur other people. Right now it's to write, but it could be whatever their heart wants to do. And I think that that is what I would try to go into. And I would really try to, you know, do a lot of blogging and maybe emailing. Can I email?
Of course you can. You can still write. You just can't write novels.
I think I would, you know what, and then I take it back. The YouTube thing may be like a side thing to get people to me, but I think I would continue the email communication with a list and responding back to as many people as I could to try to help them get their work done and try to help find someone who could kill the genie and get my magic back so I could write the books.
Well, you know, the genie is, it's called the Bezos, and he prevents people from having a career in publishing anymore because they can't self-publish. So what do they do?
Can you imagine? You just heard like...
Everyone just went...
Cars crash.
I know. But I'm not a doomsayer.
But it could happen.
But it could happen, and absolutely, it does. Stuff like that does happen. Look at the publishing industry right now. It's like, oh, hey, we're selling dead trees. No, we're not. We're not selling dead trees anymore. What do we do? Oh, no, ebooks, they're not a thing. So you're seeing like this massive shift that can happen at any time. So
there are no guarantees for any of this in any way, and I do not trust that Bezos guy.
Thanks for building that for us, but you have ulterior motives.
I actually looked it up the other day because I wanted to know how much money he had. As of this week, he had like $312 billion. And
that's good. I don't know if you've read the Everything Store, the kind of the story of his.
No, I've never read it because I just.
It's actually, you know what? I have a lot of respect for what he built and how he built it. Very, very similar to Steve Jobs in the approach, although not as much of an ego. But I love Apple.
Steve Jobs was a.
There's a little layers of ego.
Yes.
Layers of ego. I mean, people at Amazon are allowed to show up in public and talk, but people at Apple aren't. They have to be secret ninjas. So
it's a good, very good point. Very good point. Okay, so now I'm dying to know what you would do.
Was I supposed to come up with an answer?
Yes. Okay.
No, I've been thinking about it.
So if you couldn't write fiction or nonfiction.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Books. Yeah. So it's similar to you. It's kind of funny. I realize that the reason that I write is that connection that we have with other people. And like you, inspiring other people is the thing that actually prevents me from doing more writing because I love it so much. I love the thing that we're doing now and the podcasting and the speaking and stuff like that. So the one thing that I struggled with is when I found myself unable to write, I would go to parody lyrics because I would write for fun. That was a warm-up exercise, writing parody lyrics. So my fiance and I had done a few parody songs, and
most recent one. It's hilarious. We'll put the link in the show notes.
It's so much fun, and I love karaoke, though I don't have a good voice. But what I love about karaoke, and I've done this at NINC and stuff like that, where I get on my knees and I'm with a taller woman who's Cher and I'm Sunny, is I'm not a good singer, but I love making people laugh. And so what I would love to do, and this kind of ties an answer to that question and into that thing, that impossible.
Oh,
my impossible.
Yes.
I've loved music my entire life. I would love to write and sing a song that makes people laugh. That is a unique song that I can actually, maybe I won't do the music itself, but maybe I can. And that to me is an impossible task because I do not have a good singing voice. So I'm kind of tying it to there. And I think I'd have to be doing stuff like that. I'd have to be doing parody videos, stupid dad jokes. Like I would just go whole hog and try to do that as well as obviously inspire people. Maybe I could inspire other people to write if I couldn't. Because that seems to be what I'm doing now anyways.
It is almost like a move into comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Through song, through connection, because you are a natural, you are a natural comedian, obviously.
I enjoy, I mean, when I do a talk, I tend to try, it's easier when there's a crowd in the room because you can feel the crowd, but I tend to want to, because if you can get them to feel different things when you're talking, that's the, that's what we do as storytellers, right? You're making them feel something.
It's very hard with Zoom. I've had a couple of experiences in conferences and in smaller groups of like 30 or 40 people where I am. Oh, and I've taught recently and I have certain jokes that I tell when I'm teaching and I can't hear them land. There's no, because everybody else is muted and I really have a problem with that. But let's go back to your writing.
You need a laugh track in the background. So when you say your joke, you just play it in the background like a studio audience.
No one would be annoyed by that.
I'm getting like a little sound effect box like this where I can just do the, oh, sorry. Okay, start. It won't stop. But then I can have like a laugh track, right?
And that's the laugh track. You can have me as a laugh track.
That's when a joke fails, you would play that sound. Sorry. I'll get more mature.
But no, back to the writing. And I want to be clear, like the greatest songwriters in the world, like Townes Van Zandt and Bob Dylan.
He couldn't sing, yeah.
They can't really, they can barely carry a tune, but what they write has connected generations.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Tom Waits as well, right? Tom Guy Waits. Doesn't have a good voice, but he's a brilliant musician.
All of these people. Yeah. Why are they all men who can't sing? Why aren't there women who can't sing who write beautiful
lyrics? There's very few women who can't sing.
That might be the answer. What is the title of the last song that you and your fiance did? Because it was so
we did a medley. It was the K-Tel parody album. So we wanted to do Islands in the Stream, and we recorded the whole song of Islands in the Stream, but we changed it to Sharing Broadband Streams. And we recorded the whole song. I thought it was brilliant when we had the duet and the whole bit. And then we recorded about 12 times at least. We spent hours and hours, and Liz is like, not good enough. We tried it so many different times. I even used auto-tune to try and fix.
Because she has a beautiful voice.
And she has a beautiful voice, but her voice is not in the key, in the same key as Dolly Parton either. So I could
Whose is?
Yeah, I know. And so we decided, but I was like, yeah, we need to still use a clip of it. And so she said, well, why don't we just use that one bit? And why don't we do some other songs? Because we only have like two or three lines written. Yeah. And we didn't have the whole song done. Like we had done for the Steelers Wheel, Stuck in This House Here With You. Or
that was bad. I want to definitely post that one.
So that was, so we just thought, let's do one of those stupid K-Tel compilation albums as if it's about isolation and COVID-19 and stuff like that. And so that was where it kind of spun off. And I was like, this is fun. First we checked, has anyone done this yet? No. Okay. So we're doing new territory.
Yes. And it makes people happy. It makes people happy and you're connecting with people.
I love that. That's why we're storytellers. That's why we're writers, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a great question. And that has never come up, I think, on this podcast.
Okay,
as far as I can tell. But let's clarify the question for the listeners. So if you can't write books, how would you allow your creativity
to shine?
Okay, that's our question. Mark, what a joy to talk to you.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Rachel. It was a blast. It was like 10 times more fun than I thought. And I thought it was going to be awesome.
I can't wait to talk to you in 2 days for your show. So
me too. That's going to be a live.
Wait, it's live?
It's live.
Oh, it is live. That's right.
Yeah, Draft a Digital Spotlight, live broadcast to YouTube and Facebook.
Right. That means I'll actually curl my hair instead of just pulling it in a ponytail.
Video and stuff. And if I stump you, then that's it. Right in front of everyone.
Then my career is over and I can no longer write books. And the genie comes. Yeah.
And the genie comes down and decrees that you shall not do live broadcasts anymore.
Damn you. All right, Mark. Well, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. Thanks for stepping into Jay's shoes.
My pleasure, Rachel.